to the show, Let's Talk Homeschool. I'm Davis. I'm with my lovely wife, Rachel, and we are your host.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you today, and I look forward to spending some time together.
Welcome to episode number 2. Today's show is titled, Me? Homeschool? It's a true story of how we got started into this thing called home education. Are you ready? And just as a reminder, as the name of the show states, the purpose of Let's Talk Homeschool is to talk about everything homeschooling. We will be laser focused on this topic. We'll discuss why you should and all the reasons why you can. If you are considering stepping out in faith and beginning a homeschooling journey of your own, then this show is for you. If you just got started, we will affirm your decision to take this path less traveled. We plan to encourage you every step of the way. And if you're committed to this lifestyle, and it really is a lifestyle, then we want to challenge and inspire you to new heights, to take it to the next level. Finally, we want to celebrate the many milestones you get to experience with your whole family as you walk by faith and enjoy this amazing adventure of a lifetime that we call home education.
We are your coaches, your cheerleaders, your biggest fans, rooting you on at the beginning, middle, and end of your journey. We're here to train you and to teach you. We want to be the mentors for you that we didn't have. Our vision is that you and millions of other families will homeschool their kids from birth all the way through high school graduation. But we don't want to you to merely survive. We want you to persevere and thrive and have the best and most successful homeschooling family adventure of a lifetime.
We believe that if there was ever a time to homeschool, it is now. Now, the sponsor of the show is Apologia Educational Ministries, whose mission is to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the faith. Apologia is the number one publisher of creation-based science and Bible curricula for homeschooling families with over 80 number one awards covering a time span of more than 12 years in a row. Now, that's impressive, but more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA and the world. Go to apologia.com, a great place to explore creation. You can also go to homeschool-101.com and sign up for our email updates. Hey, while you're at it, go to our websites, rachelcarman.com and daviscarman.com. Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. Are you ready to tell everyone the story of how we got started? I mean, let's start with the first question. Did you ever see yourself homeschooling?
Not in a million years. You know better than anybody, Davis. I made fun of homeschooling families. This was not something that I just was disinterested in. This is something I criticized. No, it was not a group of people that I wanted to be associated with. I didn't want to be a part of it. Homeschooling was not for me. And if I remember correctly, you weren't really interested in it either.
Oh, no, I remember when we had two little boys. And we lived in the neighborhood with other homeschooling families. First time we had ever been exposed to the concept. And we thought it was the silliest thing imaginable. I mean, we actually lived across the street from the local high school. The buses came by and picked your kids up, or you could just walk across the street. I mean, why would you do this? So we weren't even thinking about it then, although I do remember we had great relationships with these neighbors, and we saw them as normal people. They weren't crazy or weird, but it was not for us.
It wasn't for us. Retrospectively, which is a glorious thing about getting older, is you can look back and you can see how God has woven the picture of your life all together, and He's made sense of the insanity, and He's made sense of your missteps. And that's an example of that. We lived on that street in Akron, Ohio, and five, I think, of the other people that we were friends with on that street, five of them home educated their kids, and I made fun of all five of them. I mean, that was an equal opportunity critic. And I left that neighborhood not even considering what they had done, and not because they had done it badly. It just was like, no. I'm looking forward to getting my life back. To me, the little yellow school bus represented freedom. It represented me getting back to me. It represented meeting you for lunch. It represented going out with my friends. It represented, well, retrospectively, it represented a lot of selfish things, right? But when we moved away, I was not thinking, wow, I can hardly wait till we home educate. That's not what I was thinking.
So let's take us to the summer of 1995. We moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina from Akron, Ohio, I-77 the whole way. And I remember, we're still young in our marriage, and so we were early in our career. So in order to get a home, we actually had to spend more than we really wanted to. And the reason partly was Charlotte was a more expensive real estate market. But the bigger reason was we investigated the neighborhoods with the best schools.
Oh, right. No, we thought we were doing the best thing for our kids because we were sacrificing and spending more so they could be in the best school district in the area.
Exactly.
No, I remember. I totally remember that. Yeah.
So we got this nice little home, nothing fancy about it other than it was around the corner from mm-hmm. what was considered the best public school in the Charlotte area based on the grading report in the little newspaper that they had at the time. And so that was the summer of 95.
Right.
So our son's not quite ready to start. We wait till the summer of 96. We register him from kindergarten, and we start praying for his teacher and for his first year of school that whole summer. And we're getting excited. Wow, this is a big transition in our family, as it is for any family. First kid's getting ready. We're thinking pictures on the first day of school, report cards, meeting new friends, and a whole community that's centered around school. So, as I remember, we go to this open house a few weeks before school starts to meet the teacher, see the room, and all this. And they talk about how important it is to get your kids, safely home, and here's all the things we're going to do during class. And, it didn't take a real long time, but we leave and we go out into the parking lot and start buckling the three kids in the car at that time, because we just had our third child in the spring of 96. And what do you remember the conversation we had at the back of the car with the kids, in their seatbelts?
First of all, that seems like a lifetime away because there's something glorious about the days gone now when you can buckle them in and like they're going to stay there. I forgot how glorious that was. But no, right. We buckled them in to the middle seat of the Suburban and we met at the back. And again, we thought we were doing the smart thing. We were going to have this conversation in front of the kids. But we had built up this night. This was a family night. We were so excited. We were going to go meet his teacher because we'd been praying as a family for who his teacher would be. And so it was our own fault, Davis. We had built this up to be this really big deal. And I met this woman and I remember thinking actually in my head going, that is not who I prayed for. I mean, there was not anything about her that instilled confidence or excitement or enthusiasm. The biggest thing is I didn't feel confident in her ability in any way. I was very, very disappointed in who I had prayed. And the seeming answer to my prayer, if indeed it was this woman, I was like, man, what did I say to get that? Because that's not what I had in mind.
Well, and it's really interesting when you and I find ourselves in these kind of situations, you can often articulate what you see immediately. For myself, even though I'm very analytical also, I can't always articulate the problem instantly, but I can tell that's not the woman I was praying for. And I don't even remember which one of us asked the question, but one of us asked the other person, is that who you've been praying for?
Yeah.
And we answered, no, that's not who I've been praying for. What about you? And we were in a complete and immediate agreement that, wow, something just did not feel right about that. We had a check in our spirit.
Yeah.
And we both verbalized it that way. This is not the woman we've been praying for.
And I don't know if I ever said anything. I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I even actually thought because I was so excited for him to go to school, and it's a subject for another day, but I'll just do this little caveat. Charles was that kid. He was very willful, very strong-willed, and I won't chase that whole conversation because we'll take time again to do that on another podcast. But I don't think there was another mother in town, maybe in the United States, that was more excited about her kid going to school than I was. And yet, I was so looking forward to him being, I mean, it's a terrible thing. Even anticipating myself saying it, I just go, wow, I can't believe I'm going to say that. I was looking forward to him being gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's what I remember about our schedule. So we continued down this path. He started school that first day because the game plan was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Our next door neighbor had a son the same age as Charles.
Right.
They were friends. They played along all the time, and they're both starting kindergarten together.
Woohoo!
So the game plan is I'm going to take both boys, drive them to school in the morning on my way to work, drop them both off, walk them in if necessary, which I obviously did the first day, and drive on to work. Then at the end of the day, because you have a 3 or 4 month old or 6 month old baby, the neighbor mom is going to go down to the end of the road, wait at the bus stop for the boys to return on their bus, and walk home. And you get to let, you know, our little baby sleep. You hardly have to do anything.
No. You're exactly right. I mean, I was literally in heaven. I mean, I just felt like this is just a dream come true. And what should have been like this flashing red light, because it wasn't. It wasn't that the woman that we met that was his assigned teacher wasn't who we prayed for. I mean, clearly it was not who we had prayed for. But it was that we weren't paying attention to that. We were assuming that God wasn't answering our prayer. We were assuming that he had messed up. I mean, that's in our arrogance, right? That's what we were thinking. And so, no, you're right. I was so thrilled by the schedule. I didn't have to leave my house. The kids at home were going to take a nap. I was going to get to do something, right? I mean, I was thrilled. And we continued on with the plan of him going to school like she was exactly what we had prayed for. I mean, that's kind of what's funny retrospectively. And I think, I mean, this is another discussion too, but I think it's interesting how we pray and pray and pray. And I believe that God always answers. But sometimes when it's not the answer we want, he doesn't answer and give us what we want as a means of getting our attention. But this is an example of how we ignored, at least momentarily, his trying to get our attention. So the first day comes, right, and we're really excited. And
right. So let's relive day one.
Okay. So, I mean, it was even before day one, you know, we go get the first day of school outfit, right? And he got to pick out new tennis shoes. And I remember I still have the t-shirt that he wore the first day of class. We got a lunchbox, right? He got a backpack. But probably the most important thing we cannot forget is because he was a bus rider home, he was required to have, what would that have been, like a 3x5 card?
Right, it was a large postcard.
It was a large, like, index card. And I had to write on it bus number, and I remember it was bus 809, and I still have the card. And we had to pin it on his t-shirt. And they told us at the open house, and they reiterated in communication before the first day that he had to have that on. And it was we needed to make sure we communicated with him that it stayed on him all day. So we were to put it on before he got to school, and then we weren't to take it off until he arrived back home at school. Mm-hmm. So no, we did what everybody else does. We got him dressed. We had an amazing breakfast. We took all the pictures, right? And you got him in the car, and the neighborhood boy came over, and y'all drove off, and I sat on the front porch. I just about did a backflip. I was so happy.
Well, and like many memories that are indelibly marked in your mind, I can picture perfectly clear driving into the school, stopping the car temporarily in this line, walking both boys in, dropping them off at the front door of their room.
Yeah.
Saying hello to the teacher. They're all set. Thumbs up. I walk out, get in the car. you know, maybe a minute later and drive on to work. So everything's going perfect.
Well, I will have to say this, though. So y'all drove away. I was thrilled. But I remember, and this was early enough in the day. So our third child was our oldest daughter. And she was taking her morning nap. And I took our second son, Anderson. And this still makes me sad to think about. But I remember taking him out. Because there's going to be a good mom, right? And I take him outside, his sister sleeping. And he was so sad.
Yeah.
He was visibly sad. He just about did not know what to do with himself. His best friend was gone.
Yeah.
And I can remember him on the driveway just kicking a rock. I mean, he was so sad because they were best friends and they would always gallivant through the woods and they played together and they would do chalk on the driveway. And I mean, there was nothing that I could do that morning to interest or distract Anderson from the fact that his best friend was gone.
Yeah. 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 I obviously was not there to see that, but when the times like this, when you remind me, just thanks me for the grace of God as we get further down this story. So let's see what happens before day one is over. So 3 o'clock, whenever school is out, I'm at work and I get a call from you saying that the neighbor mom went down to pick up the boys. You met them. You went down to our driveway to watch them walk up the street. There's the next door neighbor's mom, her son, their dog, no Charles.
Yeah.
So you're already scratching your head. And then you give me the call to tell me what happened. And what was that?
Well, what was weird was I'm thinking that the day is going great. You know, we, the three of us at home had lunch and they're taking a nap. I mean, this is exactly what I wanted it to be. I'm thinking that this is going to be this sweet, he's coming home and I'm going to talk to him about his day. You know, I'm going to be a great mom. I'm going to talk about his day. And then the other two will get up and we'll enjoy the afternoon. And then you'll come home and we'll have a dinner and we'll celebrate his first day. And, you know, I really, though I noticed momentarily that Anderson was sad, I was thinking it'll pass. It's not a big deal. He'll be a big boy. And I was really not in a good place at that time. But when I watched them come over the hill and the road, I'm just standing there and I'm like, well, is he just lagging behind? What's going on? And when he just didn't come and didn't come and didn't come, and I walked toward my neighbor and I said, where's Charles? Because I thought, well, maybe we misunderstood each other, maybe. And she said, he wasn't on the bus. My son said he didn't get on the bus. And I'm just like, wasn't on the bus? And I immediately blamed our son. I immediately thought, he took his tag off. I did.
Well, and it would be perfectly in character with Charles.
It would have perfectly.
Spontaneous, yes. Not paying attention.
Yes.
Not detail-oriented. Certainly as a six-year-old.
Of course.
And so, yeah, that would have made perfect sense.
Yeah.
But I remember being at work and getting the call from you saying, Charles was not on the bus.
Yeah.
So we're both a little panicked.
But wait, but you have to remember, I called you. I didn't even have the school number by the phone. So, okay. But what's wrong with this picture that the school wasn't calling us?
Right.
I mean, there's something about that too, especially retrospectively, that I just think, how is it that they weren't calling us?
Right. So, yeah. I look up in a phone book back then.
Yeah.
Call from my office phone to say, hello, this is a Mr. Carmen. My wife just called me to let me know that our son Charles Carmen was not on the bus 809.
Right.
Coming home. Can you help me find him? And their answer was fortunately somewhat relieving at first.
Sure.
In that they said, oh, that must be this little boy sitting in the lobby. Okay, so they double check, and sure enough, it's Charles.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, well, just keep him there. I'll be right over.
Right.
So I My workday is interrupted. I leave work. I drive there wondering what in the world happened.
Yeah.
You pick up our son who was really looking forward to riding the little yellow school bus.
Right.
And now he's a little bit shaken, not ridiculously shaken where he can't do it again, but not a good first day.
Yeah.
We bring him home and I don't even remember what we talked about other than we're like, wow, we've got to make sure day two is better than
this. But wait, Davis, did he still have his tag on or had he taken it off?
He did. He had it on.
He had it on. See, we look at this story on this side of it, and there's just so many things about the story that I was ignoring. But no, he had not taken his tag off. And so, it's too good of a story to try to cram into just the next few minutes, Davis. We're going to have to extend this to next time.
Well, let's do this. Let's call this part one.
Okay.
And we will get to part two in the next episode, folks. So we're going to bring today's wonderful conversation to a temporary close. Thanks for listening so far, and please join us next time because you'll want to hear the rest of the story. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. We want to thank our sponsor, Apologia Educational Ministries. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.